Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the NFL on this Texans victory reaction Monday. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Adetula hanging out with you. And I'll begin by kind of going around the AFC South, where, spoiler alert, Texans still atop of that AFC South, first place, and by a good margin now, as the Texans are
2-0. It's over, man. I said it last week.
Win or loss, we were still in that top.
That is true, because everybody else did not handle their business. And
0-for.
Oh, 0-for. That is correct. 0-for-2 for all of those other teams, meaning 0-for-6 for non-Texans AFC South teams. Good job, team. Way to go. One of those games that helped, you know, achieve that result was Titans-Jets, where the Titans fall 24-17 in no short order or no small part due to Will Levis having a little bit of what I like to call the bozo gene in there. He had another one of those head-scratching, blood-boiling turnovers that I like to that is likely or likened in my mind to Josh Allen at times when he gets to the lizard brain situations. And so Brian Callahan, your guy, your man.
My guy.
Your man's.
Yeah.
Brian Callahan, the head coach of the Titans. He got a little upset, a little irate, and it got caught on cameras. He was asked about it in his post-game availability. This is what he said.
Did you say to Will on the fumble? I know you looked very upset on the sideline.
I think the camera caught it pretty clear. If I had to guess. So, yeah, I was upset. It was dumb. It was the same exact thing he did last week, and he cost us points in the red zone. And that is what it is. He's a grown-up, and he knows better. And so, you know, I was really irritated that he cost us 3 points in a game that we probably needed it.
Thank you. As I put with you guys before the show, and he just said it, Will Levis is dumb. Will Levis is dumb. As quarterbacks go, he's dumb. And let's keep this in mind, too. Just put a pin in this. Brian Callahan didn't draft Will Levis.
No, he did not.
There's no guarantee that Will Levis is going to be the guy, like, all year long.
No, of course not.
There's no guarantee.
I mean, hell,
he has no investment in him.
I've already seen publications like, should they go to Mason Rudolph? And I was like, I've seen that movie. Is that really how you feel?
But still... Still, there's no guarantee he might have
No, this was his only year to see if they had anything in them.
Well, and the other thing, Reggie, is The Titans defense
caring.
They have a great defense.
Caring, yeah.
Number one in the NFL after 2 weeks. So if Mason Rudolph is a guy that won't make that mistake, it's in play, and I think it's in play this week.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, you're not wrong in that regard. Well, the thing that I loved about this, obviously, you can talk about the Will Levis of this all, and he does have great potential because there was instances where you scored because of his ability to be mobile and those types of things. But no, the up and down of it is tough, and you're right. For a coach, sometimes I'd much rather have predictable than I would dynamic.
Yes.
Especially when you have a defense like that. But the thing I loved about it was the coach itself, right? That was the complete opposite of coach speak. He was like, I mean, y'all already saw it, so no need to talk around this. Yeah, man, I was mad because I was dumb. Like, he cost
they
points.
They brung up last week.
I am a human being. Right, like, he was piling it on, which, yeah, does lead me to believe that either Brian Callahan is going to shake the table when it comes to coaches talking, or he's just really sick of that guy.
But that's a benchable thing. Two games in a row like that?
Yeah, nah, that's a bad look, especially for a head coach, because remember Bill Belichick was just talking about
torching
that. You could tell that was a quarterback play no coach ever want to see.
Right, right.
So there you go. That's one of the losses that happened in the AFC South. Let's go to another one where the Cleveland Browns got a victory this week at the expense of the Jacksonville Jaguars. 18-13 was the score, and the touchdown that the Browns were able to come up with was the quarterback, but he was running because it felt like what they had to do was just say, let's utilize the legs a little bit in order to make this go in a better way. Trevor Lawrence, I guess, spoke to the media. What caught you here?
Well, let's listen to what Trevor Lawrence had to say about themselves.
Trevor, how stunned are you by the offensive performance in the last six quarters?
Yeah, I mean, we suck right now, so I'm pretty shocked. You know, obviously, we had a great offseason, great training camp, and we got to figure it out.
We suck right now. There's your AFC South, two-thirds of the rest of that. It's dumb, and we suck.
Well, they look bad, too, man.
Yeah, very bad. And to that end, right, going further, Doug Peterson, who is the coach of the Jags, for the time being, said, the Jags have a lot of talent on this team, to which his running back, ETN, actually had a response to. Fig, you want to give me that?
Most definitely, but as you see, talent doesn't win games in this league. You can be talented however you want. It's all about execution. And you don't have to be talented to execute. And that's what we have to focus on. Just the execution and just, like I say, matriculating the ball downfield. Let's not try and get that 30-yard play every damn time. You know, just get that 5 yards, get that 3 yards. Just move the chains. Keep moving the chains. Kind of wear the defense down. Like I want to say the first quarter, we probably had 9 plays. You see the Browns, they
right, matriculated. That's good. You get the point.
Coaching.
It sounds like the coach should have been saying that.
It's coaching.
Yeah, the running back is talking about, hey, man, talent's all cool. We got to execute.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have to get the 30-yard plays. We got to get five.
Yeah, when he said that, I was like, who is he talking to? Yeah. Is he talking to the coaches? Is he talking to the player? Like, who is he talking
Doug
about?
Peterson should be saying that.
Yeah, no, and I think it is coaching.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times you hear this team here in Houston and other teams that are successful, you know, saying things along those lines? Hey, you can't get it all at once all the time. Take what you can get.
So, yeah, I was like, I don't know if he was talking to his quarterback or his play caller. But either way, doesn't sound like things are going as swimmingly as I'm sure they imagined, especially after the last season that was very disappointing for them. Wouldn't let that happen to me, though. So congratulations to the Jags and elsewhere around the AFC South. Another game that happened wasn't with the Packers
and
taking
Colts.
On the Colts.
Yeah.
Where that game was just a mess.
It was a mess.
Right.
Like, yeah, in more ways than one.
Our priors on the Colts. Looking very different now as the Colts, by far and away, but I mean, in through 2 weeks, and of course we have the one more game pending with Monday Night Football, but through 2 weeks, the Colts are giving you a terrible, terrible showing. I think they have the worst rush defense by yards, by 40 yards a game almost.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that... If you want to know why I have a little trepidation about if the run game is actually a thing, is you stacked up a whole bunch of yards against a team that looks like they might just be giving them away. But yes, thankfully for them, that wasn't the most disgusting thing in that game. Because, yes, disgusting, giving up a whole bunch of yards. Also disgusting, what the Packers center did to the football before one of these plays. Let Coach Matt LaFleur tell you about it.
Yeah, I asked Malik why he didn't throw the ball on that third down, and he told me that Josh threw up on the ball. I was like, that's the first time I've ever heard that. Matter of fact, the official came over to me, Sean came over to me and said, you know, we saw your center thrown up on the ball. Do you want us to take him out next time? I said, absolutely. Please do that because, I mean, you're talking about a critical situation and it's third down, and I've never had a throw with vomit on a football. So I don't know. I don't think Malik probably didn't appreciate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Appreciate that.
How many teams are going to be working on this in the offseason? Hey, can somebody vomit on that ball just in case?
I don't think you need to work on it. I think the working on it is conditioning, making sure that that center does not feel like he needs to give up his lunch at any point during the game. I feel like that's probably the thing.
You know what? Not throwing the vomit ball was probably the best thing. I guarantee you it was slippery than ice or snow or rain. You got breakfast all over it?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, is
just
that,
tuck it and run, baby. Tuck it and run.
Is that not worth calling the timeout, though, at that point?
Oh, for sure.
Like,
But it was like so fast. He went like, bleh, and then snapped the ball. It was like so fast that it happened.
Also, a reminder, those linemen, they're different. He was just like, throw up, go back to work.
No, it was like literally, bleh, and then just snapped
exactly.
It.
Hey, man, we got to get this play going.
That should have been a false start.
Yeah, exactly. You definitely moved. I saw that.
I'd like to be the defensive tackle. Go, get right in the middle of all that.
Let me move around that vomit.
Yeah. I feel like if vomit is going to mess you up like that, then you're probably not built to be a defensive tackle.
Well, right? this is true.
Those guys are true. Just a little
bit. Some of them guys different. Be peeing on themselves.
Yeah, I've seen that. Man. Yeah.
Yes.
Bigger question, and I know you and I are on different sides on this. This is why I can't trust Anthony Richardson, man. Just can't. Mm. You talked about it earlier. I love dynamic.
Yeah.
But come on, man. I mean, he just misses guys. What, do you have three interceptions?
During the course of this game?
I think he had three interceptions.
Yeah, that's not,
I mean,
not
I
what you want.
I can't trust him.
No, and you're absolutely right. Like, and this is the thing, is like these down games are there. Yep, 204, one touchdown, three interceptions for Anthony Richardson. Yeah, he has to make it. You have to find a midline a little bit, yeah, a little bit sooner, and that's tough. But funny enough, during the course of that game for the Colts, Anthony Richardson absolutely up and down, and really a lot more down than up. But it feels like Shane Steichen, that's the guy that I put a lot of trust in with that Colts team, and the reason why I think that they'll be pretty solid. It seems like he kind of has moved away from some of the things that they did really well last year. And that's not a thing you want, right? Like, because they simplified that offense or made it easy, made decisions easy on the quarterback.
Yeah.
Feels like that's what you need to be doing for Anthony Richardson at this point. So, but, no, I mean, absolutely. Please don't, right? Go continue to go 0-2 and maybe even 0-1 further, right? 0-3, 0-4, keep going. Let's see how far you can take that as the Texans atop the AFC South. Some other things around the NFL. The Chiefs are going to be without their starting running back for at least a little while, as Isaiah Pacheco is expected to land on the IR after he suffered a fibula injury during the course of their game versus the Bengals.
And depending on how serious, and there are reports that it's relatively serious, he might be done. But even at that, if he comes back, it's going to be hard to expect him to be what he showed in week one and some of the things they're expecting from him. So that's a big hit. That's a big, big hit for the Chiefs.
Yeah, Chiefs were able to get a victory over the Bengals 26-25.
Thank you, refs. Come on, man. That doesn't get called 80% of the time. That pass, if you didn't see it, both of them going up. He was behind the guy.
Yeah.
There's no question he was behind the guy, but they both had hands on the ball. The ball hits the ground, and then the referee on the back goes, oh, I better throw a flag now. Come on, man.
Well, I do wonder, like, again, as this is the aspirations and the place that the Texans are in, right? Now you have to do this thing where you're comparing them to the top of the league.
Mm-hmm.
An injury, you never wish that, but if the Isaiah Pacheco is out, he gave them a lot of dynamic time, play, yeah, especially with his speed, as they've developed a really speedy element all the way around. What does that do for the Texans in comparison to the Chiefs, one of those teams that you're looking at them comparatively up there with?
Yeah, no question. And but it's still going to be a big hit for them. I feel like, you know, as great as the like when the Texans face the Chiefs, I could easily see this being a game similar to last night, a game similar to the way the Chiefs played yesterday, where Travis Kelce didn't have three catches for the first time in what, years, right? I forget the exact number. But, you know, where it just gets kind of ugly and gritty and two good defenses. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the Texans and Chiefs face off down the road.
So, apparently, when it came to Ja'Marr Chase in that game, he was penalized in, you know, the play that, you know, kind of sputtered the drive for the Bengals for supposedly abusive language towards the ref. Referee Alex Kemp said that Chase was upset at what he believed was a hip drop tackle. There it is. We'll talk about that even more as Joe Mixon decided to get active on Twitter to voice his concerns about the hip drop. But per the post-game pool report, he said that after Chase was upset about that, then he used abusive language. Quote, it's pretty clear cut. It's just simply abusive language towards a game official. That's all it was. And there was really no interpretation. He said he wasn't going to repeat what was said.
No, so I guess not.
Now it's just a he said situation. But yeah, that's what it takes at this point.
Mm-hmm. I guess not. Look, with that squad, with the hip drop tackle, it's going to be something that the referees are going to hear a lot more of. Joe Mixon's tweet. What did he say? I had it here a second ago, but this is a big thing that we're just starting to hear. A lot of criticism on these referees because Mixon could have broken his leg. I mean, apparently it was some sort of sprain, but he could have broken his leg, and it would have been because they didn't call that, or first of all, because the guy did that tackle, but secondly, because they didn't call it.
So this is what Joe Mixon tweeted: the NFL and NFLPA made it a rule and an emphasis for a reason. Time to put your money where your mouth is. That's 11:38 p.m. After the game, and then he follows that up with, When I got up, I asked the ref, where's the flag that was a hip tackle? And his reply was, No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
And you could see it. I went back and watched the clip of it on the All 22. And, you know, as soon as he hits the ground, you can see him pointing to his hip.
Yeah.
As if to say, that was very clearly a hip tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, when it comes to the rule of the law, right, the letters of the law, you look at it and that is a hip drop tackle, right? They got he wrapped him up. Per the rules, and then he, you know,
all his weight
lowered his weight.
Yeah,
and we were kind of, you know, talking about in the break the idea of, for the defensive player, you get a dude wrapped up. If you can't suplex him or whatever, and you can't drop, like, you kind of just have to stay there wrapped up. But those are the rules that have been established. Just hold on, buddy, and see if you can get that whistle for forward progress. But that's the rule that's established there, and they're not executing it consistently. And that's one of the things. And I kind of say it in jest in some ways, but obviously there's truth within it. I don't know what a catch is. I don't know what spotting a football on the sideline is.
Like,
there's so much objectivity, or subjectivity rather, in the way that the rules are deployed, that I understand why fans get mad every Sunday at the refs and are like, yo, the refs are messing it up, because there's not consistency within it, which I think is the one thing that people want.
You say that, and I get it, but... but that could have been on the off-season tape that they sent around the league.
Yeah.
It was that defined. It was that clear. It's hard to know what a catch is.
Yeah, but that's not leading
to... what that was.
Yeah.
Like, that was very, very clear.
And the reason why I say it's hard to know what a catch is...
Well, because how they interpret.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, in this instance, it feels like now we're in an interpretation spot, even though it shouldn't be, because... By the rules that you establish. We set these rules up, right? By the rules you establish as a league, you're not existing in that place. And so that puts me in a place where I don't know what that means. And usually, and this is what we saw in the Chiefs-Ravens game, right? Usually, at least, you start off, you know, calling it tight, and then if you want to loosen it, you can.
Yeah.
This is a loose interpretation to the point where I think that the rule becomes completely ineffective.
No question. No question at all.
So there you go. That's Around the NFL here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. And the general takeaway, AFC South already in the pocket of the Texans. You love to see it. So there you go. For sure. Absolutely. It's in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald's Attitude. Coming up next, what is happening with the running game? I mentioned that the Colts have been giving up all the rush yards. And after seeing Joe Mixon and this offensive run game not necessarily look as stellar in this one, where are we at with the run game? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right. Do you agree with D'Amico Ryans in this one aspect about the run game? And what's happening with the run game after a Texans 19-13 victory on Sunday Night Football versus the Chicago Bears? Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Reaction Monday. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula. Yeah, man, I'm interested in what we're doing with this run game. And I guess we should start with head coach D'Amico Ryans. This is Cut 12 here. As he was kind of talking about during his availability, he talked about all the various things, and so much went on. But he left his interview, or he left the presser, with this little quick clip.
Well, I think when you look at it, I mean, like again, I said, they had a lot of movement up front. They caused a lot of chaos for us up front. We'll run it better. We'll be fine.
We'll be fine. I don't want to put words in his mouth, because, like, I don't want to say that it was dismissive, but not alarmist at all. Like, very far from it. Just, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Do you agree with head coach D'Amico Ryans that they'll run the ball, it'll be fine in the way that it goes? Because I am starting to have a little bit of concern about the run game for various reasons.
I'm not sure he believes it. I think he's just trying to bolster some confidence. You know, maybe he has confidence in his offensive staff, in the line, in the offensive line coaching. That they can correct some things. It's interesting in the sense that last week we're sitting here talking at this very moment probably about how awesome it was, you know, that they were running the ball.
For sure.
But they were running the ball against a Colts team that has given it up. You know, that we know that now, that they're getting gashed in the run game. So how much of it is that run defense, which we thought was going to be better from Indianapolis? And how much of it is your shortcomings that we saw in the preseason? You know, we saw it when they had these guys together. And then there's another part of this, and I'm not saying one guy could have made a huge difference. but it was another change in the offensive line. You know, Jared Patterson was at center, and you guys know how I feel about Juice Scruggs. I think he's going to have a huge year, and I thought he was a monster in the Indy game. So it's like, it'll be fine, or are you going to really try to change some things, and especially, you know, benefit when Juice Scruggs gets back?
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that I think pops up when you have Patterson at center is that you had a little bit of pressure up the middle at times with, mm-hmm. you know, some stunts, and he was talking about it, D'Amico, there, the idea of they, you know, had some schemes up there that gave him a little bit of issue when it came to the defensive line versus your Texans offensive line. But that did not feel like the extent of it. And, of course, you look at another game, as I mentioned earlier, right, where now the Colts, through 2 weeks, of course, sans the Monday Night Football game that is going to happen tonight, by far, the most givingest when it comes to the run game defensively. And so it's like, all right, how much of that it was, you know, this offensive line, or how much of that was that defense, you know, allowing things to happen? Like, I do think that Joe Mixon factors in a good amount, but Joe Mixon wasn't able to get his rocks off in this contest against the Bears team that I think, I don't know how much I was looking for them to be a run stopper. I was looking at them as a team that had a good secondary, although they have, you know, they have playmakers at every level. That's something that we talked about coming into this game. But I did not anticipate the run game looking the way it did, especially for Joe Mixon, who only had just below 3 yards a carry in this one.
Yeah, and they even, you could tell that they were sort of spitballing in the run game, because they put Dari Ogunbowale in there to run the ball. You know, usually maybe they were mixing things up, but they were trying everything. Cam Akers finally got his feet under him a little bit and was getting going. But the run game in general was just, I mean, the Bears defense shut him down.
Yeah.
So it was tough.
Yeah, so that then comes into, I don't know, into question for me, or at least it's a place that I'm watching, right? Because I don't want to, again, 2 weeks in, right? Mm-hmm. It is early. I'm going to lean into it's early guy, I guess, in that way. Go ahead and ding that one.
Yeah.
But, right, like, as much as week one was also a place where you go, okay, how much does that matter? How much does then this one matter? Mm-hmm. And we kind of have to stack these together and view them that way. So I don't want to be, you know, go too far. But seeing Joe Mixon have a little bit of issue, and then also seeing Joe Mixon deal with an injury, right? Because one of the things that we did know is that it felt very much like Joe Mixon brings an added element to this run game. And it put you that much closer, even though understanding that football is a contact sport and it's an any given day type sport as well, right? That, you know, Joe Mixon in theory could have an injury, miss time at times. When he has that happen in week two, where there's a hip drop tackle that could have been a really significant injury, it then reminds me, hey, you're one play away from then having it being Cam Akers, Damian Pierce toting the rock consistently. And now what does that run game look like in addition to, you know, what is being schemed up for?
It's going to be fascinating and very interesting to watch how they respond to this, because part of it also, and we talked about this leading into the game last week, like, their secondary is really, really, really good. It affords them the opportunity to maybe, you know, pile up a little bit more versus the run game. And early on, you could tell that's what they were doing. Like, they were like, all right, Joe Mixon, man. Like, you know, when the Texans tried to establish Mixon running the ball, they were really, really focusing on that. But that's no excuse, because here's the other part, Reggie. You're going to face great defenses. Like, if you think you're a contending team, and we think they are and they think they are, you're going to have to deal with this. You're going to have to deal with, you know, the Chiefs of the world. Defenses like we saw yesterday down the stretch. No, this is going to be something that they have to correct, at least even just marginally, to be able to have success.
And here's the thing, right? And I appreciate you guys texting in. Please, please do, right? From the 832, they were running into a heavy box a lot. Actually, when it comes to stack box percentage, it was actually fairly low for Joe Mixon in particular, but for this run game. And so I think that was the thing that you start looking at, and you're like, hey, you're not running into a stacked box a lot. I think it was somewhere near 22% in the course of this, which was fairly low within this. And so with that being the case, it's like, you're not going into this place where it's all, well, now it's a heavy box. No, you have opportunities to run into, I guess, lighter boxes, and you did not get great looks. Now, again, it could have just been an off night.
It could have been where they're coming out of the box, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, let's not forget, for all the issues that he may have had here and there.
Sorry, 25% for Mixon.
Yeah. Matt Eberflus knows how to coach defense. But my point is, you're going to have to face really good defenses and succeed running the ball. That's just a fact of life once you start contending.
Yeah, and so, look, I think that also raised a question for me when it comes to Bobby Slowick and how he's you know, utilizing this run as well, because a lot of the runs were also outside the tackles for Joe Mixon, and it was not very successful. A lot of runs inside the tackles for Cam Akers within this. But then we also saw a lot of the Tank Dell, that end around. Like, it worked very well early for an 18-yard game, if I remember correctly. Are we overutilizing that as well in an attempt to try and get him the football? Because it looked, the return on investment there seemed to go drop very quickly.
Well, they had some success in week one. We've talked about it a lot. Bobby Slowick loves him some end arounds and some reverses. It's just going to be the way it is. I mean, he loves to do that. But I'm also very, very intrigued by when Juice Scruggs gets back.
Yeah.
I thought he was really, really good in week one. Can you put it all on one guy? Probably not, but I think it would help. I think it would absolutely help to have him back.
Yeah, so that's the space that I'm watching. Like, how good can they be? Because
what do
also,
you think? How concerned? What's your concern level?
I mean, if we're going 1 to 10, it's at a 5 now, right? Where I had let it, or actually probably a 6 now, right? Because one of the things also is that, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow, because I think that there's been a lot of stats that have been coming out with people looking at the way that offense is going early in this early in this season, and there's an interesting trend kind of that would point you to the idea that running is becoming more more important again in the National Football League, where it had kind of been devalued to where we were leaning more and more to a passing league. And with that being the case, this is a team that really, as you mentioned, situated to be a passing team, right? And the nice thing about it, you brought Joe Mixon in week one, and it's like, oh, they're going to be able to do this and complement, and maybe even not even just complement, but lean on this and utilize that to in situations to put away games. This game that you have against the Bears Sunday night brings some of those things into question, and now you're back into a place where, yes, you could throw the football consistently and be that kind of team, but can you then lean on the running game? And that's something that I'm not certain on, especially as running becomes more important.
And one more thing, is Joe Mixon going to be healthy? It's one thing when you're on adrenaline and you turn your ankle and you try to get back in the game and then you sit out afterwards because it is that ankle worse now that he's had a day, you know, for it to get to swell and for them to get the tests and all that. I mean, I talk about Juice Scruggs. Hell, we got to get Joe Mixon back. I mean, we got to make sure because that's about as important as you can get.
So I find that to be an interesting thing within the course of this. How much does that run game go? One of the questions that we were asking is, like, this year, Bobby Slowick going to draw up some run plays in a better situation? I think that these are all things that I'm watching. And again, I'm nitpicking earlier than we need to. It's a victory, 19-13. And one of the things, if we're talking about a run game in general, just overarching, defensively, they were incredible stopping the run, right? Yeah. Especially when you look at starting from the defensive line, at the linebacker spot, I think Henry Toa had an incredible game, as did Jalen Petrie in that space. But offensively running the football, I think it's really because of the shift in, man, I got really high seeing that you could put up 159 even in an instant. And I was like, even if this is the high end, okay, what does the median then look like? And this game made me wonder if that median is as high, or, you know, that average is as high as I would hope, or as I had hoped that it could be, if that makes sense.
No, it does.
You're in the loop, Sports Radio 610 on a Victory Monday. I know it doesn't sound like it, but 19-13, your Texans 2-0, running away with the division already 2 weeks into this thing, as everybody else is 0-2. But coming up next, let's get into what's popping. Talk a little bit more about some Texans, but also what happened over the weekend with your Astros, including Verlander's penultimate start in the 2024 season. Let's talk about that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Popping.
All right, what's popping in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Lopez, Fig, myself, Reggie, hanging out with you on a Texans Victory Monday, 19-13 victory over Caleb Williams and the Bears to take your Texans to 2-0 on the season. With that being the case, another thing that was popping is that Azeez Alshire decided to let people know that you can get it if you want it. right? Like,
I'm gonna fight all you guys.
You can get it if you want it.
I'm putting cases on all you,
every one of you.
Yeah, yeah, you can get it if you want it. No matter
you think
how
you
many.
Could do this to me, to
Jay. What did you take away from that? Because clearly you had quite a fascination with that moment, as I think we all did.
Yeah.
What did you take it for you?
That moment and the Nico Collins moment, and this maybe just is me, because the Texans usually are the timid ones, you know, sort of the get pushed around guys, bullied, if you will, over the years. I like that the Texans are now getting under people's skin. I like it. I mean, obviously, as Figgy mentioned earlier, I wouldn't want to be over the edge and just be a dirty, you know, cheap team. But, you know, we talk about don't put your finger in my helmet. Don't point at me. That's like spitting on somebody. That's asking for a fight. But let's be real here. You know, Nico and he have been talking, and Nico got under his skin. I mean, flat out. I mean, that's just the way that plays out. Same thing with Al-Shaair. You know, he did. I love that. So that's one thing that I took out of it. The other thing is, like, Al-Shaair is a dude that you just do not want to mess with.
No.
He is just, do not mess with Al-Shaair. And I like that, too.
Because there's one thing if you, like, oh, man, he just loose cannon. Actually, the dudes that, like, can unleash it but then come back and sound as comfortable and calm as he did after the game, yeah, that's where it gets to be real interesting. This is Z's in the locker room after.
I mean, it was saying stuff that obviously I can't repeat. Not, I respect the game. I know how it is. Like, a lot of guys think they're tough when they got pads and stuff on, and I know how it is. You know, I grew up different. So in some things that you say, that you gotta speak on it. You gotta answer for it. And I felt like it was just some crazy things said. Obviously, I'm trying to get up, and dudes pushing me on the ground and stuff like that. So. For me, it was just more so trying to, like, I see a swarm of orange, and I'm trying to protect myself because people saying all type of things to me, and I'm from stuff like that, you know, you don't take it lightly.
I love that. Afterwards, I was telling Sean Pendergast earlier, I was like, after I heard that, I'm like, you know, he's not that bad. seems like a pretty
I wouldn't
dude.
Have thought that was the guy, number zero, over there punching
like,
the helmet.
He seems like a swell fella. He really does.
And you know what's funny about that? You talk about the attitude. He is the attitude and the setter in some ways, because I think Bajani mentioned this during the game, is that it felt like the intensity of the entire defense went up a notch after that moment.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And that's what I like. I like that they get under people's skin. I like that he reminds me of Brian Cushing, if we're being honest.
Somebody made that mention on the text line earlier today that, like, it felt like he was Brian Cushing it. And man, he's got some of that energy, some of those vibes.
Now, Brian Cushing was, I think he would tell you this, a crazy man.
He's a little more scary too.
he was a crazy man.
Like, he sounded nice. Was, and that's nice. That's nice of you to assume that it's not still to this day.
Yeah, right, exactly. But yeah, did you see him at the opening? Whew. Scary dude still. But I think Al-Shaair understands his role, like Cushing did. Like, if it's not me doing this, then everybody's going to be bullied. See, I think that's the most key thing. The most key thing here, Figgy, he's the middle linebacker. He's the dude that everybody follows. He's their CJ Stroud.
A little bit of a throwback in that way.
And a little bit of a throwback. So if he's not doing that, then everybody's going to be passive, right?
Yeah, no, in theory. I think so, and I think we seen it in training camp, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a couple scuffles in training camp, and at that point, I'm like, oh, this a different type of team.
This
ain't just the push around and kumbaya. And I'm sure they do have those moments, but it was very competitive, man.
No,
we seen Stingley in the scuffle during training camp.
He came running across the field to hit Dalton Schultz.
Yeah. So, this is a team that you want to have. Somebody that ain't backing down from nobody.
Yeah. Yeah. No question about it. And afterwards, you know, the way he was talking, you just heard some of it. It went on for a couple of minutes, and it was very impressive. I think, you know, Al-Shaair has, in just a matter of, 2 weeks of regular season, but just a matter of weeks, has kind of become and taken on that role. And you know what? I think it comes back to D'Amico Ryans.
100%.
Swarm. You know, we're going to be tough. You're going to know you played us. They've been saying that for how long? When you play the Texans, you're going to know that you played the Texans. Well, the Bears know. Caleb Williams,
more than
anyone. He knows.
We mentioned the Joe Mixon situation, the hip drop tackle that was not, I guess, if you wanted to listen to the officials that there's going to be more evaluation today of Joe Mixon's ankle, including an MRI.
Yeah.
We don't have results of that yet, but keep it locked here, Sports Radio 610. When we get information, we will let you know. And, of course, the coach is going to be talking today, I think, just after 3. So you want to listen to The Drive as well to know what D'Amico Ryans has to say after being able to revisit the film.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing. Lost in the mix of all the excitement of Sunday Night Football, Astros are playing some baseball this weekend, mm-hmm. and they come away with a nice, clean sweep of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And there's a few things that you can take away. One of those is that Yusei Kikuchi is, I mean, he's nails. I think he ultimately said it to the media that he wanted to make sure that it was abundantly apparent that Dana Brown made a good move.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have a question that it was going to be a good move, at least this year? Okay.
Yeah, I did.
We were like, what the hell are they doing? I know, like, do you see this guy ERA?
I know for me, like, I actually was thinking more of the instance of, I don't know if this is a good deal because you're giving up prospects in a market that doesn't feel like you need to get this level of pitching for a rental, I guess. His ERA wasn't great.
That was the conversation, too. Yeah. He gave up all these players for a rental that, you know,
right.
is not really having been good the last 6-7 games or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, the breakdowns that I saw was like, oh, well, he has the bones of a good pitcher. You just kind of, you know, how you're looking at houses, Fig, how people are like, oh, this house got good bones. You just got to do a little bit of, you know, remodeling. That was basically the way that I heard you say, and he's delivering on that in a big way. He's 7 innings on Friday against the Angels, 6 strikeouts, 3 earned runs. He handled his business, and he feels like he is in a great place to help you in the postseason.
And he handled his business talking about it. He was available to the media this week, and they kind of went into this weekend, and they went into the depth of, you know, him being here. He, you know, he said that he had heard some of these criticisms, and he had seen some of the doubts about him, and kind of put it on himself to really take it to another level. That was terrific to see and to hear. But it's also terrific to have those results, because Justin Verlander, we still don't know. Do you know? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows.
That's exactly where I was going.
Yeah.
Saturday night, a 5-3 victory, but Verlander, 5 innings, 2 strikeouts, 2 earned runs. It wasn't a bad outing by any means, but this is the penultimate one that he's going to get this season. One more outing to be able to determine if, like, the stuff is in the right place, if he's gotten the mechanics right. And I don't have an answer for you, which really feels like this might be a tough question that Joe Espada, Dana Brown have to decide and, answer in some ways when they're going to put together that playoff roster.
Dana Brown said it yesterday. He said, we still have a start or two before we have to make a decision. That's not an endorsement.
But here's the tough thing about that. Can you make that kind of decision on a start?
On one start.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is something where you would like to see a little bit of a track record to say that, okay, he has definitely found himself or refound himself. Because, look, we've seen Justin Verlander this year looked like himself. I haven't seen that Verlander in a little bit. No. And we had somebody at the Texans game ask us, you think that Verlander, maybe they have him out of the pen? I'm like, he hasn't done that a lot. And when we were talking with Spo last week, he was like, man, if he's not a starter, there's a likelihood he's not on the roster. Yeah. And if you're in this moment, just kind of gauging it, percentage chance that you think that Verlander is on this playoff roster after seeing Saturday's performance, where are you at? Because I'm below 50%.
I was going to say 50-50. And that's based on the general manager saying this after his latest start. That we still have time to make that decision. And then the other factor in it is what you're getting out of Kikuchi, what you're getting out of Fromber, what you're getting out of Hunter Brown.
Yeah.
And you can even maybe go, you know, a little beyond that with Eric Geddy, depending on how you feel about that. But I think those are the hot hands. Those are the guys that have been consistent of late. So it's going to be interesting. And oh, by the way, that Jason Hayward acquisition.
What a get.
Wow.
What a get.
Wow.
On Sunday, we're getting out there. You and myself are out there at NRG getting into the lot so that we can go determine who was the tailgater of the game.
Yeah.
And we're checking the phone, seeing, oh, well, Hayward had a solo shot, and here's some RBI singles, and oh, there's a pass ball that ultimately results in a run. Like, they were getting it done, but Hayward has definitely been great. That, you know, Gold Glover, that defense that he has, but then also bringing it to the plate. Like, all of these things, you hit on a little bit of a lottery pick, in trying to, you know, get your outfield a little bit stronger.
Well, they have an outfield that looks like it's supposed to and plays like it's supposed to.
Now with health, especially.
Right?
Like, I looked at the outfield lineup that you had yesterday, and you had Hayward in left, you had Myers in center field, and then you had Tucker in right. I'm like,
you can't beat that.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm
100% okay with what you're doing there.
I got out of my truck. I said, I think it's 1-0. I walked about 50 feet, and I was like, oh, I think it's 5 now.
Yeah, it's a lot of them. They found those runs. They definitely, it's a lot of them. From the 281, no way they leave JV off the roster. Let him get that third start with an extremely short lease. They have other starters to pack it up.
I don't know about that. No way? No, there's a way.
There's a way. But I understand that, you know, that might have been a little bit of hyperbole, what we call in the business hyperbole. Lopez, you might be familiar with it. But, yeah, the idea that you go ahead and you just trust that he has that experience, that he has that level of knowing his body, as we talk about, especially with veteran pitchers like himself.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, short leash, and you do have guys that you can kind of throw in to piggyback off. But I don't know. That roster gets real tight, and you want to make sure that for certain that he's going to be there at the level that you want. But that remains to be seen. It sounds like Dana Brown is going to be looking at that final start really closely, and I guess that means that we do as well have to watch that final start that Verlander gets in determining whether or not what that's going to mean for the playoff roster for your Houston Astros. So right now, tonight, they get back into action against the Padres in San Diego. Good for them. Being a San Diego, they'll get a
little Arrighetti action.
Arrighetti versus Yu Darvish.
Yeah.
So that should be a fun matchup tonight. Looking forward to that one for your Houston Astros. All right, coming up next in the Loop, Sports Radio 610, let's talk about who hooped. And you know it's going to be a lot of defenders on here because they locked down the Bears. Text in 713-572-4610. Who you think was the folks that really stood out in that Sunday night football game? We'll discuss it next.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.